flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Now more of Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We've been discussing Super Bowl 59 off and on throughout the course of the day. Mixed in with some thoughts on WEEI's picture
the
day.
Big game.
Oh, yeah. Big day here.
Yeah.
For the photos, you notice no hat, no hoodie for
nope.
Your boy.
Nope.
Clean pair of pants. Although I don't even know if those will be in the photo, but just in case they are, if they pan down, not wearing sweatpants, not wearing wind pants.
You popped on some fresh sneaks there too.
New sneaks.
I don't think you needed to do
that. Also won't be photographed.
I don't think those will be in there, but that's nice that you did it.
It's all right. I'm fresh as lettuce though today. Tell you that much.
We've been toggling back and forth between those two topics throughout the course of the day. Among other things, a reminder, WEEI's coverage of the football postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. We discussed Mike Vrabel. His track record with wide receivers outside of A.J. Brown, not good, during his stint in Tennessee. Does that tell you anything, inform you in any way, about how the Patriots should build their wide receiver room? I.e., don't draft them, try to sign them, and trade for established players. We also got into who has the most to gain and lose in the Super Bowl coming up on February 9th, so you can jump in on that. Plus some thoughts on the Celtics, Kristaps Porzingis, his importance to this team, and the Red Sox. They're over under 86.5.
Yeah.
It's minus money. Binary, yes or no, if they'll make the postseason. I don't think Keefe or I are feeling very good about that bet, and it does feel like the Red Sox are done. So all that on the table for you here on Jones and Keefe. But on Thursdays at high noon, we like to put something on the clock.
Yes.
You know, sometimes, Keefe, you're here, you're ranting and raving on the radio. It can get away from you. You go on for too long. We want to put people on a clock.
That's right.
To really make sure we drill down and get to our biggest.
Just sum this up, would you?
Most important points here.
Right.
And so it was suggested to us, and I think a lot of people feel this way, that it's a terrible Super Bowl. It should be a well-played game,
yes.
Maybe even an entertaining game, but the result, not going to be great for Patriots fans specifically. So let's give you our reasons for why this Super Bowl will be the absolute worst.
All right.
We'll each put ourselves on the clock, 60 seconds each. We'd like to hear your specific reasons as well. You're going to get 30 seconds.
Still a lot of time.
That's a lot of time. You might get on there and be like,
30 seconds.
Yeah,
Jones.
You might get out there for 10 or 15 seconds and go, are we taking calls?
You can pull the ripcord if you want.
Yeah, you can.
You can pull the ripcord if you want. Maybe all you need is 10 hot seconds.
We'll give each of you 30 seconds out there your reasons, your actual tangible reasons for why this Super Bowl is going to be the worst for Patriots fans. Let's go on the clock. Keefe, you want to go first?
I'll go first, sure.
Keefe, take it away. Nick, put him on the clock.
All right, here we go. Why this is the worst Super Bowl matchup possible. We knew that the Patriots weren't going to be in it, so we had to look at other teams that we did want to be in it, and it was very simple. Bills-Lions. Give me a Bills-Lions Super Bowl. Two long-suffering franchises. Could have been great. Not only do we not get Bills versus Lions, we don't get the Bills or the Lions. We get the Kansas City Chiefs and the Eagles. We have to talk about a three-chief or a Chief Pete for two straight weeks, which is nonsense. Patrick Mahomes is becoming one of the most unlikable players in the league. His wife is obnoxious. His brother's obnoxious. His father is even obnoxious. Travis Kelce, he is obnoxious. I've been on this for a long time. He's very corny. Post-game can't stand him. We're probably going to get his mom talking all week about how she, you know, makes them soup and everything else. Then on the other side, you have Philadelphia and their fan base. I got to watch them celebrate again for 2 weeks about how they're the best team in the NFC and they might win their second Super Bowl in 7 years. They're starting to pile on the wins. Don't want to root for Philly. We already saw Philly beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl 8 years ago. That's still very painful. This matchup sucks.
It's not going to be a very fun Super Bowl for, I think, most of the country. And in fact, even the state of Missouri,
yeah,
they're
mixed.
I would think it's going to be somewhat mixed there.
Why?
Do I have that wrong?
Well, I want to hear your explanation.
Who's the closest team to them?
Missouri?
Yeah. I guess
Kansas City's in their state.
Maybe it'll be the state of Missouri. I guess that's true. I guess there's no lingering Rams fans.
Oh,
probably not because they moved.
No, they're probably like screw
them. Yeah, they all hate the team.
Who does Nelly root for?
Nelly
tied back to Nelly.
Must root for the LA Rams now, I would think.
I guess.
Well, if you're loyal to St. Louis and the St. Lunatics.
No, but this is one where
the Battlehawks. Is that their name? The XFL
team,
the Battlehawks. Yeah, must be.
This is the one though, like when they do the map of the United States and they always say like what part is rooting for what. This is the one matchup I can remember where nobody outside of Philadelphia is rooting for Philadelphia. Well, nobody outside of Kansas City is rooting for Kansas City.
Okay, well, I guess is what I was driving at. Definitely in Philadelphia, there's tons of Steelers fans who won't be rooting for the Eagles, or in the state of Pennsylvania, rather.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is just Philly.
It's the city.
Maybe I'm overrating any lingering Rams fans there. So maybe it's the whole state of Missouri.
Yeah.
But fine, 48 of the states, not going to be rooting for either side.
You might have some of the front runner fans, right? Like kids around here in the 90s that happen to like the Cowboys. Like maybe you have a few of those now with the Chiefs.
Mm.
Or I don't know. I'm sure Taylor Swift has brought in some fans, too, in all seriousness.
True.
I'm sure there are some people that are like, well, I want Travis Kelce's team to win. But, like, football fans, it's hard to root for anybody other than your team.
Uh-huh.
But the Lions and the Bills would have been so easy. You'd be like, good for them.
Get out there and win. It would have been an actual enjoyable Super Bowl.
I didn't even mention the fact that this was a matchup that we already saw, which I don't really care for. You're right. If it's like a real bitter rival, there's something there.
You're off the clock now, Keith. Okay, you're off the clock.
Is what you are.
I thought I got an extra minute. So again, we'll take all your thoughts on why the Super Bowl will be a painful experience for Patriots fans out there. 30 seconds for you, 60 seconds for us. Nick, why don't you go ahead and I'll put me on the clock if you don't mind. Okay, why this will be the worst. It's a threat to the dynasty. The Patriots don't want to see a three-peat out of Kansas City. I think that one is self-evident. More Mahomes on commercials. There's already a lot of Patrick Mahomes on TV. If they win again, it's going to be even more in your face. Plus, as Keith mentioned, the wife, the brother, nauseating. The stupid tomahawk chop, I don't want to see. I don't get why they're acting like the Atlanta Braves in Kansas City. Travis Kelce after the game, no one wants to hear him ranting and raving. And speaking of ranting and raving, Nick Wright and his hair, hooting and hollering about the Chiefs, don't need to see it. As for Philly, their fans, trash people. I don't need to deal with Philly fans. I don't want to deal with Philly fans. I'd say I like a cheesesteak in Philly, but not Gino or Pat's. Those stink. Fly, Eagles, fly. You need a fight song? We just played that coming back. You're a professional sports team. They call their Italian ice water ice. That's water ice. They get their other sandwiches from convenience stores in Philadelphia, and they celebrate nobody's athletic heroes like Vince Papale. That's Philly for you. So that makes it a nightmare matchup, I think. Based on these two fan bases.
Great point about Pats and Geno's.
Overrated.
Incredibly overrated. Because I got a buddy in Philadelphia, Bragg.
Yeah.
And we went, I wanted to go there, so we went there like once. But every other time I've gone there, he has these like little hole-in-the-wall ones that
gotta,
are fantastic.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
So again, I don't like the Wawa. You get your sandwiches from Wawa.
I've run into a few Wawa sandwiches.
You go to a 7-Eleven, basically. Supposedly, it's a nice sandwich, but like you talk about all your cheesesteaks, and then you run to... You know, no disrespect to a 7-Eleven, a Tedeschi's. That's the equivalent of what you're doing.
Did you ever see the movie Haggard by Bam Margera?
I'm aware. I don't think I've ever seen it. I'm aware that they did a movie that they made.
And so one of the guys, like his girlfriend just broke up with him and he was in a bad mood. And like one of his other friends is trying to cheer him up. And he's like, did you try breaking bottles behind Wawa? He's like, and then it cuts to them just like throwing glass bottles of like behind the Wawa. But yeah, that's what it is. We talked about this the other day. If you just look at the entire NFC, I think only a good Giants team would bother me more than a good Philly team.
NFC teams.
Of all the NFC teams, if somebody was in the Super Bowl where you'd be like,
yeah, Giants would be.
Giants is worse. Giants is worse. Just like the history there, the logo, the whole thing. So one positive. Now, this was a minute on why it's the worst Super Bowl. One positive, though, is the Saquon Barkley element. Not only is he very likable, but it's also just further, like, ripping the Giants.
Yeah.
Like, you guys had him. He wanted to stay there.
It piles on
you
with
got
that.
Rid
You've
of
been
him.
On this all week. That's
I like
a good point.
That. That's the one thing we have going for us.
I think it's going to rate well also. Not just because it's the Chiefs, but because it's
You think the Super Bowl's going to do well?
No, but I'm saying even compared to other Super Bowls, it's going to do well. No, but ratings have been down all postseason.
It's
going to
be
the
highest rated show of the year,
Outside of Chiefs and Bills, ratings have been down for pretty much every NFL game.
What's the show after the Super Bowl this year?
It's a good question.
The Equalizer?
I don't know. I think
Queen Latifah?
We already have the Fox app in the Jones household, so Kat will be ready for that.
Yep.
But I think
it will, too. I mean, they are going for history.
I think it's going to be up compared to last year, for instance. And I think it's going to be up compared to
the first Chiefs-Eagles?
Yeah, probably.
The Kelsey Bowl? I think it's going to do better than the Kelsey Bowl?
Yeah, I think a rematch helps. And I think it will do well commensurate to how playoff ratings are down. People are unplugging. Nobody's watching. I think this will do well because of the rematch factor, never mind a market like Philadelphia being involved and a team like Kansas City. So not just a Super Bowl rating, but vis-a-vis these postseason where ratings are down, I think it will do well.
I was going to bring up the halftime show, but honestly, I kind of have no real opinion. I don't think it's a good or a bad one. I'm not like a massive Kendrick Lamar fan. I think he's very good, but I'm not like, hell yeah. Like when they announced however many years ago, like Dre, Eminem, and Snoop, I was like, this is going to be great.
Right. Is it one that you're going to tune in for? I mean, I'll watch it. I'm going to be watching the game.
It's
I'm going to watch
be
it.
On, but like before, there was a time where the Super Bowl, the game was so, usually in some of these Patriot years, the game itself was so good. The commercials were really good. And the halftime show was good. So like you didn't know when to go to the bathroom. Like whereas now I'm like, I'll probably go to the bathroom. Just all of them
need,
myself. No, during the
you need a Wizinator to just sit there on your couch.
I got an Ontario Smith this thing. No, like during halftime, like I'll get up, I'll watch a couple of the songs, but I'm not like dying to see it.
Yeah, I the weird thing about it too is it is New Orleans. Like the cool thing about LA, and you know, it had even though they brought 50 Cent out for it.
Yeah.
And they had an LA feel to it. They could have done that with New Orleans, but they're not.
No, so I'm
Kendrick
looking
Lamar.
At what do you want? The millions of viewers, the rating, the share. What are you basing this off of when you're saying like ratings? Well, I have this from the last bunch up here.
Okay, so I
last year's actually did all right.
I'm sure I don't know about every year, but I'm sure the total number goes up. I would think more the share, but yeah.
All right, so the share, it actually looked like it was one of the higher ones.
Last year.
According to this, I'm not just like the Wikipedia thing, but it's
how about
like 81?
Do you have 2 years ago?
When it was 72.
Okay.
And then 68, 69, nice. 67, nice. 68, 70, 72, 71. So it seems like last year actually was decent.
I just think Kansas City going for a three-peat, Super Bowl, people are watching anyway, but more people will tune in for that. And I think the rematch factor, people will too. I know you don't like a rematch specifically. Mm-hmm. But, you know, most of us out here, we're sheep. We like things we already know. And I would imagine that helps this share compared to last year, for instance.
What? Yes. Taylor Swift?
Don't forget Taylor Swift. I'm telling you. There's a draw there. There are people that don't. Because that's also a demographic that doesn't normally watch football. And they're going to be like, what is she wearing?
Yeah.
And they're going to watch because of that, and, too.
Well, you know what? Did that help last year?
I bet it did.
Is that part of the... I actually wasn't even thinking about that. Is that part of the reason it was up?
I would think.
Okay. So maybe not everybody agrees that this is the worst Super Bowl ever. Nightmare matchup for Patriots fans, for instance. If you have your reasons, you can weigh in at 617-779-7937. Yes,
somebody like your hot take about the Super Bowl doing well ratings-wise. They want to know how many hams they can throw on that.
Again, it's compared to ratings being down this postseason. Like, the only game I think that rated well in the last few rounds was Bills-Chiefs.
Mm.
Everything else was down compared to the year prior. For the NFC title
what's
game,
that?
Way down.
You go woke,
some
you
of the
go
divisional
broke?
Rounds down as well.
Joke?
I would,
what does it mean, you think? Or what is it based off
it
of?
It probably does have something to do with people unplugging, I would think.
Well, wasn't the highest watched championship game since 88?
And the Bills game?
Yeah,
yeah.
Bills Chiefs.
It was way up. I would also say that I think them expanding the playoffs hurts them to a degree.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting more crummy matchups. Washington knocking out Detroit, I don't think helped anything. I think Detroit being in an NFC title game would have been a good watch.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And had people on board. So, yeah, I think the Super Bowl always rates well. I think it'll be up this year was my only point.
Got it.
617-779-7937. John is in Rhode Island. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, you're talking about Mahomes versus Brady. Brady has more championships than any other NFL franchise. So once Mahomes gets past that, then we can have the comparison.
Okay.
One reason I like the Super Bowl this week.
Oh, wait, John. You think it's going to rate well?
Okay.
You want to put him on the clock?
Yeah.
Now we're talking Super Bowl. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, one reason I like the Super Bowl is Saquon Barkley's birthday is on the Super Bowl. I love an octopus bet, +1,400. Jalen Hurts did it last year in the Super Bowl. Also, I have an inside track of the color of the Gatorade. If the Kansas City Chiefs win, I will let you know. My guy that I play Dynasty Fantasy Football with, his girlfriend is an athletic trainer. So don't bet on that until I give you the information.
Okay, so that's a... That's a tease.
Don't bet on it until he tells us what it is. It's going to be the Chiefs Gatorade, though.
Yeah, it's got to be Chiefs.
Do you have an early lean on Gatorade color?
Purple.
Good one. Damn it.
Beat me to it.
Because I think a lot of people would be like, whoa, red. No.
Jalen, did he say it was +1,400, Jalen Hurts, octopus?
Or maybe just any octopus is probably pretty high.
Well, yeah, but I want to get one that's going to hit. I don't want to bet like a...
No. Don't you just bet, will there be an octopus?
Oh, I don't think it's a yes. Yeah, it's like a Red Sox make the playoffs type thing. It's not an individual player.
I don't think you can bet specific play. I could be wrong. I don't think you can bet specific
so
octopus.
Plunk down on an octopi in the Super Bowl. And then it is Saquon's birthday. I hadn't factored that in.
I don't know if these teams like to go for two as much as some of the other teams do. Like, as far as octopus bets. You think they do? I don't know.
The Chiefs just hit a two-point conversion last week.
Okay.
I don't know what their rate is on going for it.
Well, that's because the Bills are going for it like crazy.
Well, that's true, too. And they're not like the Commanders or the Bills, I don't think.
John will call in next week with the Gatorade color.
Oh, good. So stay tuned for that. We have our Prop-a-Palooza next week. Is that one you can even bet on?
Yeah.
I know there are places you can do it. I don't think all the apps you can bet Gatorade.
You might have to get creative for it. You can probably find it somewhere if you really feel good about it.
Have you seen the graphic that's making the rounds? Not just the Brady's one more Super Bowl. I think most people are aware of that.
Yeah.
Have you seen the graphic that's making the rounds that Tom Brady has more? Oh, there it is.
Look at
nice
Terp. Terp found it. Will there be an octopus?
So I don't even have to bet the individual. It's just, will there be an octopus?
Imagine being the guy that's like, I'm going to bet no -4,000. And just praying that there's no octopus. Kick the point! Kick the point! Kick the point!
That's going to be a nerve-wracking
watch. Yeah, you could win 25 cents on like a
$400 Kelsey's still
bet.
On the field! No! No, have you seen the graphic making the rounds? Brady's playoff wins are more than like all but four franchises. Like the Super Bowl ones, I think everybody knows.
Oh, it's hilarious.
The wins one is kind of crazy.
Well, yeah, and you don't really think about it that way. But then when we were talking about how Mahomes has the second most and it's half as many as Brady, it's like, wow, okay. That obviously puts it in perspective. There are a number of NFL teams, obviously, that have not won the Super Bowl. There's also a number of teams that have never even been to the Super Bowl. And so Tom Brady's hogging all those appearances. Guys, he got 10 Super Bowl appearances.
It's very, very selfish. And he's going to be, you factor this one in, you add this on his all-time ledger, working the Super Bowl.
Yep.
11 Super Bowls.
He's a part of 11 Super Bowls.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, Belichick.
Patriots fans start moving those goalposts. I wouldn't be surprised when Mahomes closes in more. They're like, actually, it was 11 for Brady.
Was Belichick just 2-0 as a D coordinator? He didn't go to any other ones, right?
Correct. He won, two with the Giants.
That's what I mean. He's
also two tries, yeah.
So he's been a part of 9, right? No.
No.
He's been a part 11. Of 11. Excuse me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Bill tries to do that. He tries to play
Add
that
him
game.
Up.
I would hope that's beneath Brady.
Yep.
617-779-7937. We should get into beyond just the Brady Mahomes debate that we've been having off and on, and we got into earlier on the show today. We should get into who has the most to gain and lose in this Super Bowl, along with other thoughts, predictions for the game coming up. You can jump in again on the phones at 617-779-7937. We have, if I'm not mistaken, a Kiefer Madness at 12:45.
We do have a Kiefer Madness. Yeah. It's about a theft, and perhaps not something that you would normally hear people stealing.
Okay. We can
an uncommon thief.
We can get to that before the end of the hour, and we'll circle back into who stands to gain and lose the most come this Super Bowl. We'll do that right after Trending with Billy Lanny. Stay tuned.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. The Celtics got the 122-110 win over the Chicago Bulls at the TD Garden last night. Kristaps Porzingis finished the night with a double-double, leading all scorers with 34 points and 11 rebounds. Up next, the Seas will begin a three-game road trip in New Orleans to play the Pelicans tomorrow night. And tonight, the Bruins begin a three-game homestand when the Bees host the Winnipeg Jets. Jets are currently on a four-game winning streak. Head coach Joe Sacco told the media that Jonas Korpisalo will be in net, and Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo will both return to the lineup. Puck drop at the TD Garden is at 7 o'clock. It's here. The prime rib dinner is back at the 9. 16 ounces of slow-roasted USDA Choice prime rib served with your choice of two sides. Available every Friday after 4 p.m. and all day Saturday and Sunday. You gotta love the 9s. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll get to Keefe for Madness coming up in about 20 minutes from now, so stay tuned for it. Good point here on the text line. We forgot about a Bill Belichick Super Bowl appearance, Keefe. 96 with Parcells.
Oh, yeah.
Moving up to 12.
12.
12, even counting Brady working Fox. That's still only 11 for Tom Brady.
Yeah, Belichick's got him beat there.
So, good in your face. John in Rhode Island also followed up and texted that Jalen Hurts hit an octopus the last time he was in a Super Bowl, hence the Super Bowl octopi prop that he wants to put down. And TBD.
I got it.
On any Gatorade color.
He'll get back to us, though, because he knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a girl who's involved in that setup.
So that's potentially very, very, very juicy information here on Jones and Keefe. Looking ahead to Super Bowl 59, Keefe, who stands to lose and gain the most come the Super Bowl February 9th? I do think I don't want to let the Chiefs off the hook, just like as a blanket statement here. I don't want to say it's no stakes for Mahomes and Reed, because if you can gain a lot by three-peating, you also lose something by missing out on that opportunity. I just don't think legacy-wise, it's going to shape a lot of how we view them. They don't go from winners to losers or winners to chokers or anything like that. I don't think. Now, you miss an opportunity to make up some ground on Belichick and Brady even Gronk at chasing the Patriots dynasty. Like, you do miss that opportunity. And so there are some stakes to it. It would take the shine off a little bit. But most of the stakes to me are more on the Philly side. Guys who have never won can be champions. Nick Sirianni can go from on the hot seat to a Super Bowl winner and been in two Super Bowls. Most of the stakes for me are on the Philly side. Maybe that's unfair. They're underdogs. I don't know how many people are picking them to win. But I think most of the stakes really are on that side for me.
It is super close, though. It's like 1.5 or 2 points. And you go back to a couple years ago, the Kansas City was actually a dog. So they're it's not like, oh, one team has all house money.
Wait, are you saying in the Philly Super Bowl they were a dog in that Super Bowl?
Kansas City was a dog.
In the Philly Super Bowl?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, they definitely were last year. I know that.
No, I think I've been on both years. That's why I think I remember that. Or if they weren't a dog. I think they were.
It was close to even money.
I think it was plus money to go Moneyline Chiefs. It won't be plus money this year to do Moneyline Chiefs, but it's close. So it's not like Patriots-Rams where you're like, hey, the Patriots are just happen to be there. You know what I mean? Like, there's not going to be a huge upset or something like that. I think, you know, a guy like Travis Kelce, for example, I don't know how many more years he has. So this is his only chance to three-peat. Even if they go like win the like lose this one and then win the next, he's not going to be there for four more years. So for something like this, something that's never been done, and to be a part of it and to be on the team and a big part of the team that whole time, he'll never get the opportunity. You can make the case that Andy Reid might not have the opportunity to ever do this again. Maybe Patrick Mahomes will, but no, there's a reason why it's never been done before. In fact, nobody's even had the chance in the Super Bowl to do it, right? Nobody's won two and then gone back again.
Right. The Patriots went to three straight, but they didn't have the chance to three-peat because they lost the middle.
They had a loss in the middle of the sandwich there. So, yeah, I think they don't have a ton to lose necessarily because it's not like they have a unblemished Super Bowl record. It's not like they have that on the line where you're like, oh, Mahomes never lost. Like, oh, he already has. And even if he loses, he's still going to have a winning record in the Super Bowl. But no, I think Sirianni probably in a weird way might have the most to lose just because there's still some doubts about him. Going into the year, he was on the hot seat. Some people were surprised he even started the year. He was yelling at Philly fans during the year.
We thought at the end of last year he was going to be out and Bill had a chance to replace him. They moved on from both coordinators. He survived and now they're back in the Super Bowl.
And they have a ton of talent. They gave him two new coordinators. But if he loses, there's still going to be that doubt. Like, I already got there twice, but do we need to maybe get somebody over? Like, do we need to figure that out and get somebody over? I think even more so than Jalen Hurts, at least how I view it, like, I think a lot of times that's sort of synonymous, like, coach quarterback is one guy good enough to get you over the top. It would be 0-2 in Super Bowls for both of them. I think it would look worse for Sirianni. He was more on the hot seat, if you will, than Hurts certainly was.
I think they're neck and neck for people who have the most to lose, which, again, maybe is unfair to them, and perhaps you disagree. You can jump in at 617-779-7937. Maybe it's unfair because, again, they're underdogs and they're going against a team that could three-peat and is an all-time great dynasty.
Or three-chief.
Maybe that's not fair. Three-chief. Chief Pete, as
Chief
it were.
Pete.
I just look at it and say, all right, if Sirianni loses, Eagles fans, he's not going to lose his job. He's not going to get fired. But Eagles fans are going to go into next year asking exactly what you just said. Can he put us over the top? Is he good enough? Is he a Super Bowl winning coach? He can clearly get us there. But what's missing and how do we improve? I think the same conversation happens with Jalen Hurts. Again, you're not cutting him, releasing him, firing him, trading him. But I do think Eagles fans start to look at Jalen Hurts and go, is this the guy? We have look at all the talent on the roster. The receivers are great. They have the tight end. Saquon Barkley's having an all-time great running back season. Yeah. The defense is really good. The coordinators are there. Sirianni's whatever. But is Jalen Hurts, you know, a quarterback who is precise enough, accurate enough, a quarterback who can make the plays when you really need it to win, or is he holding us back? That conversation will follow him into next year, where he's not going to lose his job and get traded this offseason, but maybe a year from now, the Eagles are looking to move on. I think those are the two front and center that have the most to lose, even more than anybody on the Kansas City side who would miss out on making history and three-peating.
I think it's also the swing, too. So, like, the most to gain, if you look at it that way, like, clearly the three-peat and Reed is chasing down Belichick. Brady, still in your eyes and my eyes, still a ways away from Brady, but is smashing the pace. But then I look at the guys that haven't won, and then that's why you can sort of talk, like, the big swing there for a guy like Saquon Barkley. Caps off maybe the greatest running back season ever, at least in that discussion, especially if he tacks on a Super Bowl MVP.
Well, think about that.
Which is possible.
2,000 yards, a Super Bowl win, and a Super Bowl MVP.
Hard to beat that.
I bet.
Did Terrell Davis do 2,000 yards
and the Super
Bowl?
I'm looking that up right now. He must have been like the actual MVP that year, too. Yeah. So let me double check Terrell Davis.
So
I was actually looking that up.
The TD year might have been the greatest running back year ever.
Yeah. In 98, Terrell Davis ran for 2,000 yards, 21 touchdowns. He was the league MVP.
Yeah, that's a good year.
The Broncos, I think, won the Super Bowl that year, and who was the Super Bowl MVP? They beat the Falcons, the Dirty Birds there.
That might have been Davis, or was that Elway?
I don't know. I'm trying to scroll through and
find that. And the thing about the Broncos, Jones, is they would go lighter linemen with wider splits.
Yeah,
they did
a
different type of running attack that anybody could do.
Mark Schlereth peeing all over himself.
Yeah, that was part of
there.
It.
So, but
that was also 27 years ago
The greatest, at least since that year, for a running back. Yeah,
that's a long time. Jalen Hurts, though, like with any quarterback, you know, you go on a very short list. He's already on a short list.
Elway was Super Bowl MVP.
Okay, so he didn't cap it off with that, but still, it's on the very short list of best running back years ever. But for Jalen Hurts, we already talked about how he is one of only 22 quarterbacks ever to start multiple Super Bowls. But then, not all those guys won. So, if you add the win to it, Now he's on an even shorter list, like guys to win and be in multiple Super Bowls. So now guys like, you know, Jim Kelly get crossed off that list, and some of the other ones that are 0-2 or whatever it might be. Jalen Hurts gets kind of pushed up the board a little bit. I think he's honestly an afterthought when it comes to top five quarterbacks. Every time people are like top five quarterbacks, even top 10, he's not even in everybody's top 10.
No,
a Super Bowl, it's like, how do you argue with that?
I already have him. Again, if I actually sat down and ranked him, maybe I'd have him like 11, but I would have him probably 10, like very back end of the top 10 off the top of my head.
But if you give him a Super Bowl title and he beats Patrick Mahomes, he's now also on that list,
that
which
changes,
is just Tom Brady and Joe Burrow.
It changes the legacy a lot. And
I think part of it's just the way he plays and people hate the tush push, and it's like he gets all these cheap touchdowns.
I hate the tush push, and I think it's cheap, but I like a running quarterback. So that play bothers me, but I like his style of play. Right. I like
and that's
him.
Not the only way he runs them in. Like last week, he ran in three, and you saw some of them were very athletic.
What was the one where he ripped off the big 40-yard touchdown? That was the week before against the Rams, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's not the only way he scores, but that's the majority of them, and that is a cheap play. That does bother me. For Kelce specifically, you said earlier this week, if Kelce's Super Bowl MVP,
then I'll maybe get off my stance.
No, not maybe. You said you would.
Yeah, I know.
Move Kelce ahead of Gronk. So,
all right.
So Kelce,
he has a lot.
He stands a lot to gain in your mind specifically.
That's true.
If he has a big Super Bowl and wins again, he could nose
my all-time tight end list.
Nose past Gronk.
My well-known all-time tight end list. He could surpass Gronk. Yeah, because it would be more Super Bowls, and I know Gronk has four rings, but he didn't play in one of them. So even he might even say it's more like three. But this would be four for Kelce, and as great as Gronk was, never was a Super Bowl MVP. So that's another thing that would be a check mark for Kelce.
Chris in the truck wants to fact check me on something. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just recently moved back to St. Louis. I've lived in yo-yoed between Boston and St. Louis my whole life. And there is way more of a following of Chiefs fans here than you guys think.
So
they're still pretty upset about the Rams moving.
I initially was like, there's got to be some lingering Rams fans, but the more you think about it, they were pissed when that franchise moved.
St. Louis, kind of a dump. I don't know why I said that.
You say that right to
that Chris. Was from 2019.
Right to cry. I wish I didn't hang up on it.
I went to
right
St. Louis
face.
Once in my life, and I guess that
you
I was asked
hated
about
the Blues.
No, they're like, there's the Arch. I'm like, all right. And then they were like, they recommended this one place to eat, and it was like, I don't even think it was open.
Jason Tatum catching strays over here.
I went by Busch Stadium, but the Cardinals weren't in town.
Uh-huh.
They had a casino at the hotel that I stayed at.
Nice.
They had a free unlimited soda buffet. So that was good. I helped myself to a couple colas.
One of Kat's good friends, she lives in L.A. now, but one of her good friends grew up in St. Louis. And so I've been there once as well. It was not much to write home about.
No.
Lovely home that the Shelbys have. But
Jason Tatum from St. Louis.
The city not so hot. Yeah. So
Bradley Beal.
Who's? Do we know? What's
Kachuk.
Oh, good one.
Kachuk.
You ever hear they went to high school together?
They sure did. There's a photo of them on a bus together.
What's Tatum's fandom? He must have. Was he a Rams fan? What is
Kobe
Tatum's
Bryant?
NFL fandom? Yeah.
Whatever team Kobe was rooting for.
That's true.
Does he have an NFL team? Because he was probably too good for Greatest Show on Turf.
Good question.
And then they were gone.
Somebody.
Turp.
Get on that.
Ask him.
Who's Tatum rooting for in the Super Bowl? Turp.
We got to know.
Get on that.
St. Louis fans, yeah.
Well, he is a Cardinals fan, right? So that would make sense.
Yeah, he flaunts that. But yeah, I don't know.
I threw out the first pitch at a Cards game.
I'm unaware of his NFL fandom.
Yeah.
Probably an Eagles fan. You're right. He's a Kobe fan. Kobe grew up in Philly. He's actually probably pulling for the Eagles.
Eagles. Go Birds.
He's
probably saying go Birds.
Bird gang.
Yeah.
Is
go Bird
what
gang.
He's doing.
One of the two Bird gangs.
That's true.
In the league.
So I think we pretty much ran the gamut, though, on players who stand to gain and lose the most. I think Barkley's a good one.
Yeah.
In terms of really gaining. I don't think Barkley's not going to lose anything to me. If Barkley loses the Super Bowl, he'll miss out on the opportunity to have that great all-time running back season.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to look at Barkley and go, what a loser.
But also just...
like, Hurts and Sirianni, I might do that.
But I also think
Barkley,
just
I'm not doing that.
The philosophy of winning with the run game has a lot to stand and lose.
Yeah.
Because if you lose, it gets kind of forgotten.
No, that's
it's
true.
Like, yeah, they made it there, but they didn't win.
Us pro running back people stand to lose a lot.
Yeah, yeah. But even like...
there are dozens of us. I'm one of them.
there are dozens!
And that we stand to lose something because this would be a great one to throw in people's faces. It's probably an outlier, but it's still one you can throw in people's faces.
And then, but it would be a huge day for the just build the offensive line and run the ball. Because you're like, really? In 2025, you can still do that?
Let me give you something I don't like about that.
Okay.
Does Vrabel look at it and go,
yeah,
we can win this way?
We need King Henry. No, see, I don't know. Because the one thing he did say that I really liked, where they were like, hey, your Tennessee teams ran the ball a lot. And his first answer was, yeah, our best player was a running back. So yeah, the Patriots' best player is not a running back. I hope that he doesn't fall. Well, no, not yet. Let's see how they find that guy. But as of right now, based on the roster, I don't think he's going to completely fall in love with the run game.
I do like this guy on the text line. He's taking you to task about the soda buffet, Keith, in St. Louis.
Yeah.
But this guy, I've been meaning to highlight this guy.
That's true. I didn't make that up.
He said, every casino has free soda buffets, you mortadellas.
Well, I haven't been to every casino. And actually, I don't think that's true.
This guy's been calling us mortadellas now for about 2 weeks straight.
Is that an insult?
I've been meaning to highlight him.
What does it mean?
Mortadella's like a meat. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a deviled meat. It's deli meat. Yeah.
I think believe you find it in an Italian sub.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take a one with hot right now.
It's something an Eagles fan might get from
the Lola. I don't think there's unlimited soda buffet at Foxwoods, Mohegan, Encore, all the other. I don't believe so.
I don't know. But I've been meaning to highlight the mortadella guy there for a
while. Looks like bologna with extra little fat in it.
Also, cheap ass me. I'm sitting there playing like video poker or something, and somebody comes. This is at the St. Louis casino, and they come over, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know, like a rum and coke or something. And then they come back, and they're like $10.50. And I was like, I'm playing games. Me talking about $10.50.
You're not at a table, sir.
I'm like, oh, for God's sake. So you like dig out your wallet and everything else. I was like,
$10.50.
Or whatever. It was like something way too much for like just a glass of Coke. I'm like, I got the unlimited buffet over there. Give us a rub in this. They're like, no.
Okay.
They're like, not in the state of Missouri. Or whatever. Like, she said something about the state of Missouri. I was like, I thought casinos. She's like, not in the great state of Missouri.
Missouri.
I was like, never mind.
Did they have a sports book in there?
No, not then. This was years ago, but no, not then. It's too bad. It was really not a good.
It's a real shit. I'm still confused at why you were even there.
I was actually doing the show with you. They sent me to cover a MMA fight.
This was with me, and I don't even remember it.
So what happened was, you weren't there with me. No, but we were doing the show together.
You called into the show while we were doing it from St. Louis.
I interviewed Tito Ortiz.
Oh,
and then I sent that in, and I think you guys might have played that for like a Kiefer Madness because it was like, what was it? It was like.
It's amazing Kimbo that I'm like, Slice. I'm confused by this. And
it was like Ken Shamrock, Kimbo Slice. Yeah, and they're like, do you want to go to St. Louis? I was like, sure. Like, I'll go. I'll take a trip.
Huh.
And we went out there, just interviewed a few different people. I think it was for Bellator. And then it was like.
They paid for this? The station paid for this?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice little
But I had some, MMA I couldn't even junket. Stay for the fight. I had to like fly home. I couldn't even stay for the fight. But I was there for like a few days, interviewed a bunch of fighters and people promoting the thing, stayed at the hotel, walked around St. Louis aimlessly, and then called it a trip.
Had one 10.50 rum and coke.
Had a very expensive rum and coke. And then
swore off Missouri.
Yep.
And then I was done. 617-779-7937. Speaking of the madness, we have Kiefer Madness.
Oh, yeah.
Next.